Things looked pretty bleak for Republicans last Tuesday after Democrats flipped two county executive seats in swing suburban New York City. But according to several newspaper reports, the GOP losses are not deterring possible challengers to Governor Cuomo, including my next guest, Deputy Senate Majority Leader John DeFrancisco of Syracuse. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
So I read that you are still considering a run for governor next year. Is that true? And are you strongly considering it still?
Yes, I am strongly considering it. The more I go around the state and meet with Republican officials throughout the state at various events, I've been to 22 counties now, and continuing that process, I mean, there seems to be a universal feeling that it's time for a change. So I'm offering myself as someone who would go into that race and I think run a strong race, and then it's up to the Republican Party who they're going to nominate.
Are you going to put, you know, if you decide, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do this, are you going to put any of your own money into the race?
It depends. If I don't have to, I don't want to. I don't think
Well, of course, but if you have to.
But I don't have an extra $10 million to throw in. One of the candidates indicated that they may do that. And quite frankly, I think the money will come, whether or not whoever the candidate is. I think we've gotten to the point now that it's so similar to the last Cuomo race that ended in a defeat for Cuomo, and that was the one against Pataki in 1994. The atmosphere is almost identical. The money showed up then, and I think it would show up next year as well.
All right. So when you say things are similar to the last Cuomo race, you mean the last Cuomo race included Mario Cuomo, not Andrew Cuomo.
Right. Pataki beat him. And the situation was almost identical.
In what way?
Maybe you're too young, but if you remember.
I'm not, and you know it, but let's not go there.
But Mario Cuomo was considered a possible presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. Back then, the deficit going into the budget year was $5 billion. People were leaving the state of New York, and last year, for the first time in a long time, we had a net loss in population. The economy is not in good shape. Upstate, despite the governor's statements repeatedly that he saved upstate New York, the jobs market is horrible. And I just think the attitude is almost like we had enough of this individual whose leadership skills are basically bullying people into doing what he wants and then justifying what goes wrong rather than admitting it's wrong. So I think it's very similar. And back then, the mantra was anybody but Cuomo. So a guy that no one knew, Pataki, came out and beat him.
One of the things that is different, though, is that around that same time, there was the big congressional Republican wins around I can't remember the guy from Georgia, Newt Gingrich. Thank you, Tim, and your young synapse. Newt Gingrich, and there was the Contract for America and things like that. Now we're seeing these Democratic wins in places like suburban Nassau County, Westchester County. Do you think that this is indicative of the shape of things to come?
You know, I think nowadays, Democrat-Republican situation is not as important as the individuals who are running, more than ever. If you look at the city of Syracuse, the mayor who's leaving soon, Stephanie Miner, is a progressive candidate. I'm not as progressive, I would say. I'm middle of the road. But however you label me, people from all over the political spectrum are saying he's got to go. She's considering a primary from the left. It's not a Democrat-Republican exclusive idea that we've got to have a new governor. It's across the board, all political philosophies. And when you've got that kind of feeling out there, I just think that a good candidate could beat him, similar to what happened back when a nobody, George Pataki, at the time he was a nobody, took on an institution, Mario Cuomo, and beat him.
So there is another bit of news, though, that you need to factor in here, and that is this report showing that Cuomo has more campaign cash than any other Democratic politician in the nation, and almost all of it coming from big donors. $26 million is nothing to sneeze at, so what's your reaction?
Well, I think that's a benefit to the individuals who may run against him. I just think that proves the premise that the little business, the little person in the state is being ignored for the big multi-million dollar benefits that are given to major donors. And there's a direct correlation. The biggest tax credit in the state of New York is the film tax credit, $420 million a year. The other tax credits pale in comparison. And where is he today? Or maybe he's on his way back.
He's back.
After going to California to raise money. And I'm sure there's going to be a substantial amount of money. Prior to this last run to California, the numbers I saw, he raised over $1 million from the film industry in the past, and there was like $1 billion worth of benefits. So I think they're tithing very well. And so when you see these large donations, it cuts both ways. And I believe that it's not going to cut in his favor. But as I said, there's enough dissatisfaction with the what's going on in the state of New York and the way he leads, and the results is that their money will come by people who've had it. And
you know,
it'll be a competitive race.
You have said a couple of times that people are I'm putting words in your mouth, but aggravated by the way Cuomo leads. What specifically do you believe bothers people?
Well, number one, let me give you the example I've given before, and I think it's a perfect example because this isn't just upstate. Back a few months ago when the 2nd Avenue subway was completed, the governor was there preening before the cameras as if he dug the tunnel and laid the tracks. A few weeks later when the MTA was having trouble and the subways were going off the tracks, there were fires in the subway tunnels, no air conditioning, it was the summer of hell. He blamed de Blasio for the mess that the subways were in. I mean, that's not a leader. That's someone who spins whatever happens in a favorable manner. And I challenged every group that I've come to over the last 3 months to tell me once, I'm challenging you and your listeners, one time since the governor's been governor that he's actually said, well, that didn't work. That was a mistake. And I think I'm going to change that. I'm going to go in a different direction because that wasn't really working. That's not his nature. It's the nature of spin rather than being upfront with the people. And I just think that that subway example is a perfect example.
All right. And, let me ask you about something going forward. All right. We have this $4.4 billion, and that's a conservative estimate of the state's budget gap going forward. If you were governor, how would you choose to close it?
You got to cut spending. You can't keep going to the well and asking the people that are paying taxes in state that we're going to make it even less competitive with other areas. People that have the wherewithal to leave are leaving, and the people that are leaving are the individuals who can do that, who have the wherewithal to do that. And when you let the higher-paid taxpayers leave, that means the jobs go with them in many instances. And obviously, by any analysis, the higher-income people have the best chance of leaving if they want to, and they're the ones who are funding state government. And you keep doing that and ask for another tax, another tax, another tax, people are leaving. That's why you see these numbers, in my mind, where we have a net loss in population. Things are so well under the formal regime. Why are people leaving? And why are people complaining about taxes and complaining that they have another burden on their small business because there's another benefit that the governor is going to put on them because he wants to appeal to a certain group of individuals that he appeals to in his political campaign?
All right.
That's not the run.
Let me ask you another question going forward. One of the governor's preferred ways of he believes will create jobs is economic development spending. Do you think that the Senate will vote on the controller's clean contracting legislation this session? You sponsored the bill, I believe, last session, but it never came to the floor for a vote.
I certainly hope so, but when you ask me, am I serious about running, there's a perfect example why I believe that's the only way that I could affect change in the state. That bill was a smart bill by a Democrat, a controller, who's certainly not doing it for political reasons. It's open government. It's to make sure dollars are being spent properly and openly. And it didn't get even through the Senate. You know, the governor has a way to get things done that he thinks should get done. And unfortunately, a majority of the Senate didn't go along with that bill because the leader would not put it on the calendar. So There's an example. I've basically gotten to the point in my life that if I want to change things the way I think they need to change to make New York State a better place, then it's got to be running for this position.
I'm hearing you say that you're frustrated with John Flanagan's leadership.
I'm frustrated with bills that I think make sense not getting on the floor for a vote. I'm frustrated with things like that a so-called free college tuition that really isn't free. And now I just saw that the SUNY is looking for, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars more this year in their budget when we're in a deficit situation because the expenses are going up. Well, if you're going to give free tuition, there's going to be more people. There's going to be more buildings needed. I mean, things that aren't thought out. A minimum wage increase based on a $15 number that had no economic underpinning whatsoever was because a group of political leaders throughout the state, throughout the United States, we needed $15 minimum wage. That's not the way to run a government and to keep businesses that are trying to struggle and stay in New York to stay in New York. So cutting funding is the answer because you can't just keep going to the well because the well became dry about 5 years ago.
When do you think you're going to make this decision about running? What's your time frame?
I'll know by the end of December. The real question is, in my mind, I think whoever is the candidate, it has to be a united party. You can't have a primary.
Right.
I'm trying to convince people that I'm meeting with that to beat Mario Cuomo, you need somebody that understands the issues, that is articulate and can explain the issues carefully, and is not going to be intimidated by himself or his henchmen constantly providing negative, scurrilous comments against you. So I think I can do that.
John DeFrancisco, we have to go because we're out of time, but next time we'll have more time, I promise. John DeFrancisco, Deputy Senate Majority Leader and Republican from Syracuse. It's always good to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Anytime.
Take care.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.